The KJS Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
Defined as a meeting between instruments and not traditions, of course, most certainly the dialogue between Balake Sisoko's Kora and Derek Gripper's guitar is a summit between two master musicians who are operating with control and freedom at the highest peaks of their art. Armed with Balake's Kora tradition and lineage, traversing the once powerful empire known as Kabu of West Africa and Derek Gripper's European classic guitar, these two gentlemen do not share spoken language, but if it's true anyway that the music speaks universally, then they were already involved in a profound dialogue long before they met. And after a successful American tour this June, the duo touches down in South Africa for a You Can't Afford to Miss Out in Durban, Cape Town and Johannesburg tour, kicking off from the 14th of June all the way until after the 21st. And of course, joining us this Sunday is a gentleman who really has redefined interpreting the Kora, or how the Kora sounds, using only his guitar. He's Cape Town-based guitarist and friend of the KJS Show, Mr. Derek Gripper. Hello, welcome to the KJS Show. Welcome to Kofifi FM.
Hey, thank you, Kofifi FM.
You are welcome, brother. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, you and I met last year at the inaugural Prince Albert Festival, the Journey to Jazz, you know. And since then, you know, we've had conversations around world politics, adventures in America, to the ceremonial cacao making, which I've become an expert, by the way, thanks to you and your masterclasses.
Okay, well,
and of course, music.
I mean, you're going to have to put your money where your mouth is.
A challenge, and this conversation hasn't even started. A challenge is already out. But we also gather around music, you know, this Sunday. And of course, you and Balake Sisoko recorded a project together. But before we get into that, you know, I want to go back for a moment. Where does the story begin, you know, for Derek Gripper, you know, and the guitar?
I mean, there's obviously many different beginnings depending on which story you want to tell. If you want to tell the story of how I end up bringing Balake to South Africa to play a tour in June, just after recording an album together, I suppose that story would start with a performance at the Three Arts in Cape Town in 1996 by Salif Keita. I think making music, if I'm not mistaken, and I think I've got the date right, although I feel in my memory it was earlier. But whenever I speak to Salif and his team, they reckon 96. So maybe. I remember being more still at school. But I went to see that gig at the Three Arts. And you know, the Three Arts was the white cinema. And across the tracks was the Luxurama, which was the non-white cinema. And here we are, 1996, in the middle of, you know, the Rainbow Nation, the everything sort of positive and full of promise. And there's this 14-piece Malian band playing in this, you know, what used to be a cinema and is now sadly a shopping mall.
Mm.
But that's the way things go, you know. From apartheid to Salif Keita to Woolworths. So that is the first time I ever saw a musician from outside of this country, I think.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, I could be wrong. You know, that's why the dates don't make sense to me, and maybe these guys aren't remembering properly. Because you know, there were other bands that came sort of 94. I always feel it was 94. Anyway, it was the first awesome band I saw from outside South Africa, and I remember the band starting. I remember Salif in the front of the stage with his hands together in his prayer position, the lights blowing up, and this voice erupting. You know. So I don't know, I didn't think about it after that necessarily. I mean, obviously I carried on listening to his music, but it had to have had an effect. And so a number of years later, when I'm finishing up at the University of Cape Town with this degree in a thing called classical guitar that felt like it had no relevance to me personally, I was interested in the problem of how to play it. You know, oh, that's interesting. And then, you know, you get the challenges of the classical repertoire and you dive into that. But at the end of the day, I wasn't going home and listening to, you know, Spanish classical guitar music. That wasn't my passion. So my problem was what to do with the skill of playing the guitar, being able to play the guitar in this way, you know, plucking four fingers. It's a specific way of using the guitar, but be able to play the music I loved. And right at the moment of, you know, that question becoming really an important question to answer, because you know, life was moving on. I come across this record by a guy called Tumani Diabate. He's turns out to be his debut record at 21 years old. He recorded it in 1987. It was produced by Lucy Duran, who's since become a close friend. And yeah, I was just blown away, you know. This was Salif Keita, you know. It was everything Salif's music had, but it was acoustic, it was on a nylon string instrument, and there was all this complexity and interweaving parts and virtuosity that you could hear in Keith Jarrett or Bach, or, you know. For 10 years, that was an inspiration. That's all it could be, because it was a Rosetta Stone, you know. I didn't understand how to read it, how to, you know, and read it in the sense of how to understand what he was doing, you know. And I'm not the kind of person who listens to something and goes, oh, that's a C major, you know. Oh, it's in, no, that's not how I see. I just kept listening to it for 10 years going, wow. And then learning the articulations, learning the language, learning the accent. And then from the accent, importing that accent into my own compositions, importing it into my own interpretations of classical music, especially Bach, which I was always still playing. It's like a central point for me. But eventually realizing 2011, hey, you know, this guy is like Bach. He's a great African composer. The only problem is it's not written down. So I can't, you know, with Bach, you take the score, you interpret it, you do your own thing, and next thing you have Glenn Gould's version of a piece, and you have Pablo Casals' version of a piece, and you have all these different personalities stamping their uniqueness onto Bach. And that's been a very rich musical thing, hasn't it? You know, so I started writing down Tumani's Kyra, which is the album that I'd found. Started writing down little by little, piece by piece. Takes 2-3 hours to get, you know, 3 seconds of music. And slowly started working it out. And I think, you know, I probably spent 6 months nonstop, you know, late at night, sitting note by note, finding different ways to tune the guitar, you know. But luckily by this time I knew the accent, you know. So I'm walking in the streets of Paris, I'm speaking with a Parisian accent. I just don't know the language. So then I, by the end of that process, I was ready to record, and I recorded an album called One Night on Earth, which was the, you know, the music of Tumani Diabate transcribed onto guitar. But I started to think, you know, it's not, it shouldn't be only the Kora, it should, you know, it shouldn't be only Tumani, there's other people. So I started looking further afield. And the first album that I found was by a guy called Balekesi Soko, who grew up with Tumani and recorded actually a duo album with Tumani called New Ancient Strings, to pay tribute to an album from 20 years before recorded by their fathers called Ancient Strings.
Wow.
So I'd listened to that album. Then I came across an album called Chamber Music by Balekesi Soko and Vincent Segal, cello player from France. So I transcribed 2 tracks off that, and they made it onto the digital and CD version of One Night on Earth. So that was my meeting with Balake, was through the transcribing of his music. Then years later, I met him in a breakfast, hotel breakfast. You know, when you're at a music festival, that's where you meet the musicians, at the breakfast.
Right.
So there he was, I walking along with my eggs, and there's Balake Sissoko, you know. So I go up to him, I have my guitar, and I say, "Hey, I'm Derek. Check this out, I've been playing your music on guitar." And he's a very nice guy, you know. He's very he's like a very kind, and he's just a very genial character. So he smiled and he was very nice. He said, "Keep going," you know. I can't remember if he said it in French and someone was there translating, because he doesn't speak English,
right?
But you know, that was the first time, and I carried on. I made another record of Kora music called The Library's on Fire, where I wanted to include more voices from the Kora. Seku Paturu Kuyate, Sidiki Diabate, the younger, who's now a famous hip-hop artist or singer.
Yeah.
Bunch of Kora players and more pieces by Balekesi Soko. Thank you. just by chance, we ended up working with the same agency called Mad Minute Music Booking Agency in Paris. And my first Paris concert, not my first, but with this agency, they said, hey, why don't we get Baleke Sisoko to come and guest on a final track? You know, it'll just be a nice friendly way of you playing. So I said, oh, you know, why not? So he came, I went to his place in Paris and we spent an hour or two together, just kind of, me playing something and him finding the tuning, because he's got this really amazing kora that can tune into any key very quickly, which is a new thing for the kora. You know, so we did this thing and we played a little bit, just touching on things. Next he comes to the gig that night or the next night, whenever. And it was very nice to play together. And I knew that he'd just been invited to London to perform at a concert celebrating the 50 years since his father had been in London playing at number 10 Downing Street. So I managed to get myself in on the bill.
Right.
And then he said, come, play with me. So we ended up doing a long set together at the end of this big presentation on the kora, his solo piece. I played solo. We played together. And then I pushed my luck a little more and I said, can you stay an extra night, get your train back one day later? Let's hit the studios. Because Platoon, who's been releasing my music since 2020, have a studio in London that I've never been to. They've been telling me, when you're in London, you must look at the studio. So I looked at the studio with Baleke. And we sat down together. It was a nighttime session because the studio was booked up. And we played for 2.5 hours, I think, without talking, without planning anything, just improvising. One person would start, the next person carries on. We play until we get bored. Someone ends, blah, 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 ends the thing. We look around a bit, change the tuning, you know, have a sip of some water, go, and then again, you know.
Yeah.
So we did that and went our separate ways. And we, so then over the course of the next year, we had a lot of opportunities to play together again. We played in Turkey, in Sweden, in Switzerland, in Paris, Bordeaux. So we, you know, we got to know each other a little bit, but really just meeting up before the gig, playing, you know, not rehearsing anything, just getting on stage together.
Yeah.
And then I, about 6 months later, Matsuli, who is a label that has released, you'll be familiar with them. They've re-released a lot of, you know, incredible stuff on vinyl. Including, they, you know, one of the things they did that wasn't a reissue was my One Night on Earth. And they do beautiful pressings. And they've been hassling me, hey, if you do this Baleke Sisoko recording, let's put it on vinyl. And then they hassled me a little bit more. And so eventually I opened up the files that I had now from the studio. And I started, and I pressed play on the first track, which was 16 minutes long. And I was really blown away. I was like, oh my God, is this what happened?
You know, wow.
I don't know what, like, this is a... This is a track I would give this. There's nothing I'd take out. I would put this track out there, you know. And then I was too scared to listen to the rest because in my memory, nothing happened. Nothing interesting, you know. So I just thought, okay, this is the one. We've got 16 minutes. That's a good start. But then eventually I dug in more and I started cutting and pruning. And eventually I think that track on the album is now 4 or 5 minutes long. So there is an unedited version out there, which one day people will hear, which I think is worth a listen.
Okay. But okay.
Brought it all down, and it's a 7-track album now, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's the story.
Yeah. Of course, you know, Kofifia FM, we're in conversation with Derek Gripper, who has collaborated, of course, as he has just explained, with West African choral player Baleke Sisoko on the 7-track project, which was recorded in London, of course. And it's described, this project anyway, is described as a deep communion, you know, with sparkling improvisation, which pushes, you know, a living tradition into brand new sonic spaces and opens a live and direct channel of communication between the kora and the guitar. Quite a mouthful, Derek, you know, and speaking of, speaking of, yes, speaking of, you know, you recently were on tour with Baleke in the US, and maybe for the listeners, because I mean, I've heard this tale before, you share a story of how, you know, you and Baleke don't speak the same language, you know. How did you communicate with each other then, you know?
So we communicate with Google Translate for the day-to-day things, you know. He wants to go to the shop to buy some onions, that we use Google Translate. Or what time should we meet in the lobby? tomorrow, you know, what time is sound check, that stuff. We don't talk about the cosmos with Google Translate because it doesn't work, you know. We don't talk about music.
Yeah.
Every now and again, I'll tell him some story and he'll go, yeah, yeah. But he doesn't, you know, it's not like we have much backwards and forwards. It's more, you know, the stuff we need to communicate with. And then we go to the gig, we have a sound check, and then the time comes to start playing and we sit down and we play.
Yeah.
And something happens. I don't know. I can't tell you much about, I mean, there's been some interviews now where Balak has spoken about his experiences. But I mean, I never know after the gig, and he doesn't know, you know, did he enjoy it? Did he enjoy it? Did I enjoy it? Is that the kind of thing you like? But we have this similarity in our approach to, to performing. And we quite like the same ways of telling stories through memories of different things, which can then become improvisations, which can become recitations of existing things. But we don't like, neither of us like sticking around too much, you know. We kind of, we move on and we disrupt what's happening. And that's, and I think because of that, we've created something on this album and in sometimes in the performances too, which is kind of different for the Kora. It's a more like an improvisation with form and, you know, the story and how it moves from here to there.
Yeah.
As opposed to the real breakthrough in improvisation that happened with him and Tumani's album, where Tumani took the melodic improvisation of the Kora to a level that had never been heard before.
You know, your artistry, Derek, is about creating original music from these diverse influences. You spoke about Tumani, you spoke about Salif, Alvo Parton, Egberto Kismonti, and many others. But the question here is, what is it about the sound that has captured you?
Yeah, I suppose, I mean, it's, you know, it's like it did give me a Rosetta Stone into a different way of treating a stringed instrument. You know, I'd say first and foremost, I'm drawn to solo musicians more than West African music, more than Kora. I'm drawn to people who've made beautiful statements as solo musicians. Keith Jarrett, there's a few solo piano concerts that Keith Jarrett made that are, for me, absolutely beautiful. This thing of a single person sitting there communing with an instrument and creating some kind of language. There's Egberto Gismonti from Brazil, who's been very important for me, an album of his called Solo, where he's playing solo piano, solo guitar. You know, beautiful. Tumani Diabate's solo work, the two albums he's made solo. So that's the first hook. Is, you know, my biggest question was what to do with a solo guitar, what to do with it, you know, what to do by myself with a guitar. And Tumani answered that question in marvelous ways. Yeah.
Really fascinating. Of course, the reason why you and I also getting together this Sunday is because you and Balaki are in Johannesburg in June. Let's talk a little bit more about this tour. You know, let's share some dates with our listeners and, of course, some venues that we can be catching you, that we will be catching you at, rather.
Yes. Well, this is great. I mean, you know, to introduce, you know, your friends to your friends is always nerve-wracking. But the response has been incredible. You know, we sold out the first two shows in Joburg in the first few weeks. So there's one at Wits. They have this new Chris Siebrechts, I think. Is that right?
Chris Siebrook. Yeah.
Siebrook. I must learn it before I play there. Chris Siebrook. That is happening on the 20th, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And then we're doing the Market Theatre on the 21st. Those two sold out. Quick. Thank you. Thank you, Joburg. Amazing. So we've added another night on the 22nd in Joburg at the Market Theatre as well. We actually start the tour off in Durban at the Playhouse, and we go to the Midlands to play at Michael House Theatre, just to, you know, get Balaké out into nature, show him some mountains and stuff. I thought the Midlands would be a good excursion. And then we have Cape Town on the 18th and 19th, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. You'll find these all on derekrupert.com. That's the most reliable place. And we'll be at the Baxter Theatre, which is 5 seconds from being sold out both nights.
Wow.
We're very, very close to that. So we're going to have, you know, a really beautiful big audience. I had thought that if that goes well, we'd add another Cape Town. But I think what we're going to do is a little bit of sightseeing.
Big red bus
we're
things.
Gonna do a bit of playing. He's going to be staying at my place. So we're going to have the opportunity for the first time to just maybe sit down every day and play together with no concert and no, you know, and maybe, you know, drop in into studio and do some recording and see. So we're gonna have a little residency for 4 days at the beginning, then go to Durban, come back, do the Cape Town shows, go to Joburg, and he flies back. And the tour has been made possible by the French Institute and by Air France.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Malaké has to have two seats because the Cora has to sit next to him because a number of years ago, the last time before our tour in the US, his Cora was dismantled by the American customs officials. They took it apart and they put it into lots of different pieces and he arrived back in Paris to this, you know, Cora that had been dismantled. So now he travels with it next to him. So it was great to have that help with Air France. You know, it's very difficult to bring people here and make it work.
But, yeah.
You know, those three things, audiences coming immediately and being, we want to come. This is, you know, that's the biggest thing. I mean, you know, and then the French Institute and Air France. So we've had these three great supporters to making it possible.
Wow. And we're grateful because then they carry the artistry, incredible artistry with them as you travel the world and share this wonderful gift, of course. And we look forward as us in Johannesburg, you know, to being part of the wonderful concert in the intimate presence of a conversation of the Cora and the guitar.
Yeah, it's exciting. I'm more nervous about these concerts than I don't get nervous about concerts, but I'm like, ooh, get a little bit of a flutter, you know. It's like such a big thing, you know. It's like I feel like I'm introducing my, you know, my fiance to my parents or something.
Oh, hectic. Well,
that's gonna like.
Well, I've met her already and she's great, so I know Johannesburg's gonna love her. I know it's gonna love her. But as we wrap up our conversation, Derek, where can we find your music, including this project?
So Matsuli has put the music in vinyl on in all the places where you guys buy vinyl. They're very thorough with that, so you will, you know, if you've got a local place that, you know, carries new vinyl, it'll be there. Otherwise, Matsuli has a Bandcamp page. I have a Bandcamp page, DerekRupert.com. On there, you will find, you can order it from me. And then, of course, there's the piracy sites, Spotify, iTunes, where you can get it, you know, Deezer, all those places. It's all up there. And you can also, you know, if you're still like very much 10 years ago, which is a beautiful moment in music, you can digitally download also on my website.
I love that. Piracy sites. I love that. Incredible. But Derek, thank you so much for chatting to us on the KJ Show. And of course, we can't wait to see you and Palake on stage. And I think I'll be seeing you way before then. But we'll talk about that on some other platform. But he is a guitarist and composer. His name is Derek Ripper, and he was on the KJ Show.